thought I was in New Birth Church.
Hey, man, they played that one almost. I know at least once a month. And found myself singing along. Forgot some of the words, but I knew most of them. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I don't plan on being before you long, but every time a preacher, I notice every time a preacher say that, they end up lying. Because they end up being in front of folk a long time. So I'm not going to just lie and say, I ain't going to be before you long. I'm going to be in front of you as long as the Lord gives me power and strength to stand before you. And the Lord gave me a wonderful word today. Sometimes it's good, preachers, to revisit old sermons so you can see how God has graduated you. This is a brand new sermon. but I visited an old sermon this morning, matter of fact. Went to storage looking for some documents and came across every document that I been looking for, but didn't find the document that I needed. That's just sad. But then I found some stuff that I needed to go through and stuff I needed. Ushers, you may be seated. And you just find stuff that you really don't need, but you've been wanting, been thinking about. And I heard Deacon Wayne say, don't they look nice in their blue uniforms? Amen. Those are some pretty shirts, if I say so myself. Amen. All right. Love is my holy and most gracious God. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you for these, your people. Now, Father God, anoint me and prepare my heart and mind. Father God, give me power to proclaim what you have given me. And Father God, let your word not return unto you void, but let it convict and touch and help each and every one of us. Father God, we want to say we love you and we praise you and we thank you for everything that you've done. Father God, we just ask this prayer not in our name, because our name is not strong enough, but in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you turn to Revelation and then go backwards to the book of James.
Amen.
Pastor Robson, isn't it strange when we say Revelation, folks get all excited?
Yeah.
Woo, Revelation! Ready for, you know. It's not Revelation today. James chapter 1. The reason why I said Revelation is so you can have your bearings. Some of us.
It's 891 in the proof of.
Some of us, we don't know where the books are and we need help.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So I'm giving you a little help.
Amen. Amen.
It's closer to Revelation than it is to Genesis. Amen. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I haven't gave a verse yet. Verse 22 through 25. Y'all like, I want to read it before you read it. So I can make sure you're reading it properly. Amen. That's a good thing to do. That's better. Sit down. If we ain't gonna all stand together, we're gonna sure enough sit down together. Amen. And the text reads, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face, in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I want to use for a subject the reflection of the redeemed. The reflection of the redeemed. The reflection of the redeemed. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The reflection, of the redeemed." Amen. The book of James is a book that every believer needs to read. It is a book that is very beneficial to everyone in this room. The book of James is a book written by one of the disciples named James. And this is not James, the brother of John, the sons of thunder. This is not James the less, but this is James, the brother of Jesus. And we do know James, the brother of Jesus, was martyred between 62 and 63 A.D., and the reason he was martyred is because the Pharisees and scribes brought him to the very top of the Jewish temple and said, "You either blaspheme Christ or you die." At that point, he turned to them and said, "Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God." And they proceeded to throw him off of the temple to his death. And that's a word for everyone in this room. What would you do if someone asked you to blaspheme Jesus? Some of us would say, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and blaspheme because he really knows my heart." Some of us will say that because I'd rather live today and witness tomorrow. But James said, "You know what? I know who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God." The book of James is a book that can be broken down into five parts. Part one is the testing of faith. Part two is the reality of faith tested by the tongue. Part three is the rebuke of worldliness. Part four is the warning to the rich. And part five is the use of exhortation. The book of James is a wonderful book that helps us as believers realize what our outward religious service should be. The book of James shows us how we as believers should walk and live. And many times we discount the Bible because we fail to want to look in the reflection of the Redeemer, because when we look in the mirror, We find, like on most mornings, our hair is not right. There's some slobber on our face. There's some snot. There's some snot in the corner of our eyes. Our breath doesn't smell too good. And we need to take a bath and fix ourselves up. Really, let's just be honest. That's the reason why most of us turn from the Word of God. It's because we really don't want to see our own reflection. And it's here in verse 22 through 25 where God gives us the test of obedience. And the test of obedience can be found in looking in our own reflection. That's why the Lord placed upon my heart our title, The Reflection of the Redeemed. Now, if you're not saved, this text does not apply to you. If you do not know Jesus and the pardon of sin, this text goes right by you. Matter of fact, you can close the book and say, the pastor is not talking to me because I'm not saved. But if you are saved, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you need to keep your Bible open because this text is addressing you. It's not addressing your neighbor. It's not addressing your friend. It's not addressing your spouse. It's not addressing your brothers and sisters. It's addressing you. And you need to look in this mirror and see the reflection God wants you to see. At least I hold you too long. At least I hold you too long. There are a few points that I need to bring out. And then I'll take my seat. As way of background, let's just look at the text and break the text down, our text, our scripture, into four distinct parts. Part one is the discovery. When you read the Word of God, it's not just something that you could read like a novel. When you read the Word of God, it is something that shows you who you are. And shows you who he really is. Amen. It is a book of discovery. Because every time you open the Word of God and read it. And read it not trying to apply it to somebody else. But trying to apply it to your life. You find and you discover how far you are away from God. But then you see how God is really closer to you than you ever realize. You discover that you don't deserve his closeness. You discover that you don't deserve being wrapped in his arms of love. But yet and still, you discover that his love is all-encompassing. His love is right there. That's in hearing the word. But then not only do you see a discovery, but you see a doing. That means that you are obedient. That means you're listening to what God has said. And you're not applying it to somebody else. You are applying it to you. And when you find that you are short of the Word of God, you have something called self-correct. You'll start going backwards to what you know is actually right in the word. When you find yourself walking left when the Lord tell you to walk right, you realize that you need to make a U-turn and go the way God has told you to go. Some of us don't understand doing because we are not obedient. We like to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it, and get mad when somebody talks about us and tells us we're not doing it right. But the truth be told, we need to learn how to self-correct. Because if we don't correct ourselves, God is faithful to pull out the belt of correction, and he is faithful to apply it to our seat of understanding, and he will continue to use it until we get some get right. Some of us right now, you're getting chastised. God is whooping you right now, and you want God to stop. But God is not going to stop until you change your ways. Not only do we have discovery, not only do we have doing, but we have disinterest. The reason why folk are disobedient is because they are disinterested in doing what God wants them to do. Let's just be real. The reason why you don't do what God has told you to do is because you're not interested in doing what God has told you to do. Let that soak in. And many times we negate what God has told us to do because of what God and how God decides to tell us what to do. Can I just put it out there where everybody get it? The Lord speaks to the pastor speaks to the congregation, and the congregation speaks back to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I ain't doing that." And they do it so smooth that they make it seem right. But the truth is, you wrong. You out of order. And the truth is, you're not doing exactly what God has called you to do. And the reason why you don't want to do it is because you're disinterested. You want to know why folk don't come to church? Because they're disinterested. You want to know why people do what they want to do? They're disinterested. They don't care what the consequences are. They know, they've been told, they grew up in church. They've heard the sermons, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But we still do deadly things expecting to get lively results. Not only do we see discovery, not only do we see doing, not only do we see disinterest, but we see devotion. Devotion means a continuance in something that we are doing. When you have disinterest, you cannot have devotion. That's why church is secondary to football. That's why church is secondary to jobs. That's why church is secondary to "I don't feel like going." You have no devotion. And what you do is you tell folk, "I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Pitied every groan. As long as I live and trouble I rise, I'll hasten." Why are you lying? Because when Bible study was open, you wasn't here. When Sunday school was open, you wasn't here. And then you say, "I love the Lord." Just lie. You have no devotion. You have no continuance in the faith. But I'm talking about the reflection of the Redeemer. 2 points. Then I'm going to take my seat. Y'all ready? Point one deals with a dichotomous thought. Dichotomous means two different viewpoints from opposing angles. So here it is. You are either going to be devoted or you're going to disregard the word. Look, it's right here in the text. He says in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving not your neighbor, but your own self. First point is that, the dichotomous thought. Are you devoted or do you disregard the word? You can tell a person that's devoted to the word because what they will do is they will do what thus said the word of God. And they don't care why it says it. They're not looking for the ins and outs. They're not calling folk who do what thus said the Lord foolish. They're just doing what God has said do. Can I talk to you? Do y'all mind me being real with you? I can tell you, you can tell the folk who are devoted because you can look at folk devoted in relationships. Where a person's relationship is where they're going to spend their money. Women, if your man ain't breaking bread on you, no matter how little or how much he has, you know that he ain't devoted if he ain't breaking bread. Men, you know your woman ain't on your side is if you say, baby, I need help with this bill and she doesn't provide any help at all. You know who's devoted by how they produce financially. Am I anywhere? Now, some of y'all are devoted in church because when you get paid, God gets paid. And you don't care who says anything about what you give. Folk can say you give too much. You're a fool for giving, but you still continue to bless God and bless those in God's house. But you can tell the folk that ain't devoted because they the one that say you ought not give that much. There's some dichotomy in some houses, ain't it? You want to be a blessing and folk in the house don't want to be a blessing. And they wonder why you always have and they don't. I'm glad somebody caught it. It will make you, not set you. I'm glad you caught it. And the truth is, many of us, we want to be free. But we don't want to be obedient. And you can't be disobedient and free. Am I anywhere? You know what? I would say I know I'm preaching, but I ain't the one preaching. This ain't nothing but God. We can't be devoted and have disinterest or disregard at the same time. You either all in or y'all out. And we like to play those all in and all out games. Say on one end, I'm all in. I'm with you. Just like Peter. Lord, I'm not going to leave you. All these other Negroes, all these other disciples, they're going to leave you. But I'm not going to forsake you. Some of us are just like Peter. As soon as the cock crowed, we had already denied Jesus three times. It's right here. I'm not eisegeting the text. Eisegeting means I'm putting it in. Exegeting means I'm pulling it out. If you pull out the text, you find that there is this dichotomous argument. Who are you going to be today? Are you going to be devoted? Or are you going to be a disregarder? Pastor Robinson, that's really what the text is saying in a nutshell. But you know, I looked at the text again and I got my second point. Y'all ready for it? I hope y'all ready. I really hope y'all ready because this one's going to hurt. So if I throw a rock and it hits you, the one that yell is the dog that's hit. The second point I saw was a discomforting debate. It became discomforting to me because what I saw was a man looking in the Word and then turn around and doing whatever he wanted to do. Now, you might not get what I get, but let me show you what I get. I get that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And if you skip down to the 14th verse of St. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm closing already, but I want y'all to catch this. How can you look at the Word and not see Jesus? So when you look in the Word and see Jesus, how can you see Jesus, be face to face with Jesus, and not change? And that's exactly what James is saying. How can you say you're saved and not change in your faith? How can you look in the eyes of this man named Jesus? How can you look in the eyes of a man who from eternity past knew he was coming to a hill called Calvary for you? Knowing that even though you know who he is, you know what he has done, you know what he is currently doing for you, how can you, as a believer, read the Word of God, stare Jesus in his face, and tell Jesus, I'm not going to change? How can God say, I took all kind of manner of things to get myself on a hill called Calvary, and you not change your ways? How can you look at the nails in my hand, the spike in my feet, the matted blood on my face, the plucked out beard on my face, and not even change? How can you not change your ways? It's sad, but believers have been the same for 30 years. They got stuff they're struggling with for 30 years. They said they've been on the battlefield for 30 years, and there has been no change in their life. They still doing the old stuff they used to do. Still stealing, still robbing, still cussing folk out. How is it you can see Jesus face to face and not be changed? I don't know how you can look at Jesus in his face and not be changed. by what Jesus has done on the hill called Calvary. I don't understand how you can see Jesus and what he's done on a hill called Calvary and continue to do what you used to do. I don't understand, nor can you make me understand how you can continue in sin thinking that you're all right with God. You're not all right with God because you're wrong and walking in the wrong direction. Jesus is telling you, you need to go back to a hill called Calvary and reevaluate everything that he has done for you. He walked down the rocky roads of Jerusalem, healing the sick and raising the dead. Unstopping deaf ears, bringing sight to the blind. I don't understand how you can see Jesus and not be changed. Jesus went around a girl who had just died. She could not hear Jesus. She could not see Jesus. But when Jesus touched her, she became alive again. I don't understand how you can come in contact with Jesus and not be changed. There was a group of lepers. They said they needed some healing. Jesus healed all 10 lepers and only one came back. I don't understand how you can meet Jesus and not be changed. Is there anybody here that has met Jesus? Is there anybody here that has had Jesus change your life? Is there anybody here who knows he's worthy and has the power to change your life? I met Jesus a long time ago, and I know he has changed my life. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. But let me tell you the reason why I can't look in Jesus' face and remain the same. Because he done so much for me. I don't have enough money to pay him back. So all I got to give is Jesus is my obedience. Because he died, I need to live for him. Because he died, I need to talk for him. Because he died, I need to give for him. Because he died, I need to love for him. Because he died, I need to sacrifice for him. And what we call sacrifice is not sacrifice. It's just paying back. Just paying them back for all he has done. What has he done? Some of y'all don't know. He went up an old rugged hill called Calvary and bought your sin debt. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it. He washed it. He washed it. White as snow. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can't look Jesus in the face. See what he has done for you and not change. You either gonna disregard what he has done, or you gonna be obedient. You gonna be either disregard, or you're going to have devotion. Yeah. What do you have? Don't lie. Amen. To the folk around you. Amen. Because they already know. Amen. If you're devoted or not. Amen. Amen. They already know. Amen. Ain't that right, Pastor Robinson? They see it. And guess what? It don't matter if they see it or not. Because Jesus is looking you in the face. And he wants to know, why are you not devoted? How can you lose? Look Jesus in the face. That's why you don't open up your Bible. Let's just be honest. Because you really don't want to look Jesus in the face. And let him see how. Well, no, not let him see. You don't want to see how your reflection looks in the mirror of the word. That's why folk, Pastor Robson, always talk about them and him and her. But when you start looking at the word, guess what you start saying? I am in need of a savior. I'm in need of somebody to walk with me. Your mindset stops talking about they ain't doing what they supposed to be doing. And your mindset starts to be, and I'm trying to be what God wants me to be. It's time out for all these excuses we like to give. Well, I would have, but. You know what butts smell like? Pastor Robson wouldn't have said that, but I'm not Pastor Robson. They stink. They smell. Amen? So what butt you giving Jesus? I would, Jesus, but. I'll stop, but. I would go to that, but. We need to make sure the fragrance we send in God is a fragrance that he likes to smell. You know what he likes to smell? Love, joy, peace. He don't like excuses. He don't like them buts. Amen. Which one are you going to give? The reflection of the redeemed. You're redeemed. You've been bought with a price. When you look in the mirror and not see yourself, but see Jesus. What are you going to give him? You going to continue to give him what you've been giving him? If it's your everything, continue. But if you have been lacking, I cleaned it up, Pastor Robson. I cleaned it up. But if you've been lacking, halfway giving, don't you think today is a good day to change it? Don't you think today is a good day to say, Jesus, I give it all to you. I give myself away. Give myself away so that you can use me. I think that's a song we all need to sing. What you think? Give my